it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro.
Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, il Ninja, il Ninja, jump, 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 al 32.
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmadadena.com. And welcome to another episode of Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark. Joining me, as always, is Sam Enpor. Sam, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks. Hopefully we're looking towards warmer times here in the States, at least where I'm at. So feeling pretty good about that. But let's jump right in. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this show as we lead up towards the Derby della Madonnina, which is Sunday. First off, I want to reflect a little bit on the Thursday's matchup with Eintracht Frankfurt, a 1-0 loss. And I don't know if pitiful is the right word to say when it comes to just describing how Inter played in this match, but I think it comes pretty darn close in terms of what they put on the pitch. And I realize that, you know, Inter decimated with injuries and suspensions, had a lot of players out there you probably wouldn't normally see to start a match like this. But all in all, things just did not go together at all for Inter. Offensively was just poor. Defensively wasn't bad. I mean, I have to give a little credit to the defense that, with the exception of De Vrij's error that led to Jovic's goal in the first half, I think defensively they were able to withstand a much more pressure from Frankfurt than they provided in the last match in Frankfurt. But all in all, just a very disappointing performance in a game. In a match that could have possibly determined whether Inter was going to get any hardware this season. And now that answer is obviously a resounding no. There's not going to be any hardware for Inter this season. You know, your thoughts on the match, Sam? My disappointment is probably an easy way to phrase it for me. But what are your thoughts?
Here's the thing. Like, first of all, to begin with, I understand that a lot of people want to hold Spalletti accountable for this loss. In a sense, sure, you can talk about the motivational factor and how did the players actually react to the game. But the problem was that we actually had like 12 senior players that were available for this game. So Ranocchia was the player that was substituted. That's a center back fundamentally, right? So he can't impact the offensive side of the game like someone like Martinez could have. So to begin with, that was a huge problem coming into the game. Second of all, you know that, you know, there is a huge problem when your central defender, in this case Milan Skriniar, is actually playing as a better midfielder than all of the midfielders did in that game.
So, I'll tell you what, you know, in all honesty, I was kind of impressed with Milan Skriniar in the midfield.
Exactly.
I don't know why. I think he's limited with his mobility, but in terms of his ability to act as a true midfielder, I was actually kind of impressed.
Yeah, because he has the quality. That's the thing, right? You know, that's the issue, right? That should give you a sense of how badly this game could have gone for us. Like we actually were lucky that we had such good center backs and such good defense, because in all honesty, coming into that game, like when we look back at the game right now, today, like, I mean, it was like we were playing with hopes. Like we were just playing it long in hopes that Keita Balde, who actually came back from 2 months injury and like relying on him to make something magical, and that's not reasonable to do. So I mean, the thing is that the problem I had is that I felt like the midfield wasn't good at all, and we're just lucky that we conceded only one goal in that game. So I can't let Spalletti take all the blame, because he couldn't do anything else. Like 12 senior players, and this was the game. But when it comes to the motivational factor, I don't know if the players played their hearts out in a sense. I feel like some players did a little bit more than others could. Perisic actually did very poor this game, in my opinion. I think that you can see that Borja Valero is getting off age. He doesn't really responds well to the fast pace of games. So I mean, there's a lot to be said for simplicity in a sense, because if you look what Skriniar actually did, he just drove the ball. He kept it very simple. He didn't try to do take very high technical numbers or, you know, something spectacular. He just tried to push the ball forward all the time. So, you know, that could be a lesson for all the midfielders, that, you know, if this center back of a man, like he's pretty large too, and if he can do this so simply and effortless, like you all should be ashamed of yourself in a sense. So I don't know. I'm just a little bit disappointed of the mentality of the players.
And that leads, I think, to another topic of discussion here. And I know there's kind of been an outcry within our community and several other communities that it's time for Spalletti to go. And I know that you said that you don't really feel like he should bear the full responsibility of how things happened on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I think if you take the overall picture of where Inter is, how they performed from the time he started to now, you know, I would almost have to say, and I think I said this to Pete with AC Milan offside in my Q&A I did with him yesterday. I think that if Inter fails to reach the top four this season, I think Spalletti is gone. I think that's probably it for him. And honestly, I don't know that a top four finish saves him. I just think it depends on the mindset that Steven Zhang and Beppe Marotta have in terms of where they think the future of this team lies. Is it something they feel comfortable putting in the hands of Luciano Spalletti? And right now, I think there's a lot of fans that say no, that it's time to move on. And in fact, there's been several on our site on serpentsofmatadena.com that have actually said that if he loses Sunday, if he loses the Derby Sunday, he should be fired immediately. And I don't know that that'll happen. I mean, but you have to look at all components of where Inter's at right now. Right now, we're 1 point back of Milan in fourth. But we have four teams that are nipping at our heels for that fourth and final Champions League spot. And you've got AS Roma, who has struggled, but now they have Claudio Ranieri, who's come in and tried to bring about a resurgence. And I think you're going to see a bit of an upswing from Roma, as you do typically when teams let go of a coach and bring in a new one. Manchester United is a perfect explanation of this, perfect demonstration of this after letting go Jose Mourinho and bringing in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You've seen a big resurgence of the Red Devils, and now they are threatening to wreak a lot of havoc in the top four in the Premier League. And I think you're going to see the same thing with Roma. All just because I think that's just the nature of things. I think that's just how things are when you have one coach who may not be getting things done. You bring in a new coach, regardless of who it is. You know, I think you see a team that ticks back up and shows a lot of promise. And you see that everywhere. So Inter is in a very precarious position right now in terms of what could happen moving forward after Thursday's loss to Eintracht Frankfurt, and what will happen Sunday in the Derby with Milan. And so I guess the question is, Sam, you know, is Spalletti gone after this season?
You know, I'm in the boat where, you know, at this point, like, let's be rational about it. Okay, let's say that we lose against Milan, which isn't something that it should be too spectacular, because Milan is in a high upswing right now. Sure, you know, their games in particular hasn't looked too great. They have been winning games due to Piontek's very good form and that other guy, that Brazilian midfielder that they just brought in. What's his name? I lost his name, but the new guy that they brought in January. So, but the thing is that they have Gattuso has, you know, structured the defense very well, so they're playing good. But I think that sacking Spalletti doesn't fundamentally solve Inter's problems. If we look at the seven last years, like, we have done this a lot of times, and short term, sure, you can get a good reaction, but long term, it doesn't give any stability. I think that Spalletti is too stubborn for his own good. Like, he sticks to certain style of play when the opponent, it doesn't actually suit the opponent that we are facing. But I don't think that, I mean, who are we going to bring in if we sack him right now? Conte? I don't think that Conte will come in like mid-season and take over a damaged team in a sense. I think that he will be more available in the summer. I mean, you have Mourinho. I think the same thing goes for him. So I'm thinking, like, sure, if we lose to Milan, I don't think that that's something that should... it shouldn't shock anyone, because Milan has a better form than us right now. Sure, derby is a derby, and it doesn't matter if you have a good form or bad form, but I don't think that this game in particular is the reason that Spalletti is going to leave this summer. I think that in totality, like, he has peaked. I don't think Spalletti is that top level coach. He's right under that. So I don't think that, I don't know. I just get a feeling that he has peaked, and this is, you know, the best he can do. So I think that they're probably going to stick with him till the summer. I think that's the most rational decision, and I think that that's fundamentally what should be right, because in all, it's not like Spalletti has done such a terrible job. Like, he actually has done a lot of good things for this club as well. Like, he has gotten Brozovic to the point where we consider him to be fundamental for the team and how we play. Other coaches didn't succeed in that. Like, he has met Škriniar, have said in an interview that Spalletti has taught him, like, how to be a world-class defender, you know, how defenders should act in different scenarios in the game. So you know, there's a lot to be said about that, but I don't know. Sure, you know, in Inter world, you know, these things happen, and we can't live without drama, obviously, so it wouldn't surprise me if Spalletti will get sacked, but I don't think that that's the case. I think that it is already been done that Spalletti is going to leave in the summer. I don't even think that that's debatable at this point. I think that he has peaked, and this is the best he probably will do, 3rd and 4th place. But what I hope that is that the player show a little bit more character and a little bit more mentality, because fundamentally we have a better team than Milan has. Milan doesn't have as strong team as we do, so we should be able to beat them.
And you know, one thing to think about, and I think one thing to ask here, and maybe early, is if Spalletti does get sacked, let's say he does get sacked in the summer, or there's a mutual parting of ways, or however you want to phrase it.
that's all I know.
I know that the problem is that he has to get his pro license first, and because he doesn't have it right now. He's got an A license, which allows him to coach, I think, in the C level and be an assistant in Serie A and Serie B.
You can bring up the Primavera. You can just bring up the Primavera and let him coach, but you know, officially, you know, outside you have the Primavera coach who has the license, but he's the coach, so you can solve that.
So is he the right choice? Is he the no, logical choice here?
No, he's not the logical choice. Would probably be if I was Zhang or Marotta, and if the case came to that, the fact that okay, we need to get rid of Spalletti, then I would probably go and give Conte or Mourinho, you know, a contract ASAP, because regardless, like we need a coach and. If we're gonna change right now, so let's just do it, you know, as it is. So I would just go after Mourinho or Conte, you know. I would take someone that has the personality in a sense, like can control these types of environments in a sense. So I would go directly after one of those. I don't know if that's a reasonable or a logical thing, but that's what I would do anyways, because I don't think that. Taking in you know the Primavera coach or someone like that, I don't think that would solve anything. I think that we have already done that and seen what that does. So I think that you need to bring in a coach who just, you know, can approach a game per game in a cynical way and just give a little bit of balance and you know security. So I would just go all in for a Conte or Mourinho and just, you know, give them guarantees that they can have the transfers they want in the summer, but they need to come in now because this doesn't work with Spalletti. And of what I've heard is if we were to sack Spalletti, we have to actually pay him 25 million euros. So you know, that aspect too, like that could be something to have in your calculation. But I would say that Conte or Mourinho is the most reasonable choices for Inter if they are to sack Spalletti after the derby if we lose.
Well, and I think you know, Mourinho is talked about a lot simply because of what he did during the 09-10 campaign, and that's great. I mean, it's great but the thing is I think Mourinho has probably reached his peak. Yeah. I think he is. I think I don't know that he is necessarily the best choice for this club. I know that he's a popular choice for this club, but I just don't think that I don't think it's there for him right now. You know, Conte. I like Antonio Conte. I like what he did at Chelsea. I like his methodology. I like what he did with the national team. I think he's got a good potential. But how about a Diego Simeone? Here's a guy who's I don't know. I don't know that he wouldn't, just simply because good coaches love challenges.
Matt, that's the thing. This is not a challenge. This is a political thing, because if you look at Inter squad, like they have 22 players who have like four or five different cliques in a sense. Like there needs to be fundamentally there needs to be some security. Like it's like we are a bipolar type of club right now. Like from one week to another, we play like a world class team. The next week, we play like a provincial team. So I mean, in hindsight, like if Simeone takes over this club, what guarantees can he give him? Because obviously,
well, and that's something to ask here is that, you know, if Spalletti is gone, of course, all this is debatable.
Yes.
But if Spalletti is gone, and let's say we look at Antonio Conte, or we do look at Jose Mourinho, or we do look at another name that maybe not be out there that we're overlooking. Lord forbid I suggest like a Louis van Gaal who's officially retired. So not an option.
Jesus
or bringing back anyone else. But what does that mean for what Inter will have to do in the transfer market this summer? I mean, obviously bolstering the midfield has got to be a top priority, because right now our midfield is a shambles.
Oh, absolutely. That should be the most first thing that you should do when the transfer open starts is to go out to the media and say that, hey, we have just purchased three world-class midfielders. I don't know, one, two, three. It doesn't matter. That should be the number before even the coach comes, because fundamentally that's what we lack. That's why we can't close games. You can't control games. That's because, you know, there's a lot to be said about Brozovic, and you know, everybody says that he's such a good player and all, but sure he is. But the problem with Brozovic is that, first of all, he's the only player that can actually move a ball from one point to another. So what that basically means that every time Brozovic makes a mistake, you know, you can see it because he's the only one who does it time and time and time again. So you need to put other players that they can actually do what he does, but even better. So if I was like someone like Osilio, I would look at someone who isn't like a 20-year-old midfielder. I would look like someone who has done this for a while. You know, he's a bit seasoned and has that authority, that character, and that quality that can go into any type of game and basically like take the bull by the horn and actually dictate it, because that would give insurance to other players around him that okay, so we have this type of security in the midfield. Okay, so now we can build on that, and it actually gives a bit more security to the players around him. So that's absolutely, that's the first thing I will do. I would just, because in football, according to me, games are won central on the pitch. All teams that are very good and are very successful have world class midfielders. There is no team in the world that is successful in this game that doesn't have world class midfielders. Hey, just look at Croatia in the World Cups. Like, they have three world class midfielders at the same time. Like, come on. And if you look at Madrid when they were thriving, or Barcelona, or Manchester City, or Liverpool, or whoever. Like, all of these teams have world class central midfielders, and that's the first thing we need. It is great. We need to get rid of all the Gagliardinis and João Marios and Vecinos that we actually don't use in a sense. Like, João Mario is just rotting. You know, he comes in and goes. Gagliardini, the same thing. And Gagliardini, the dude doesn't even play when he's not. He doesn't even play in the European Cups, and he doesn't play in the league. Like, what's the point of having that man in the team anyways? Like, I mean, dead meat needs to go, and we need to bring in someone that actually has some type of character and can actually dictate it. So I will actually go all in for a Rakitic or someone like that who has that type of quality.
And the thing is, the big thing here is that if you get rid of the coach, you almost have to bring in a new coach before you can start shopping on the market, just because you don't want to bring in players. You don't want to bring in players that may or may not fit the system. And if you bring in Conte, you could look at a Rakitic or someone like that. And that player may not actually fit what Inter is going to run in the next season. So I think you've got, before you, but you can't put the cart before the horse. And I think you've got to, you've got to have the coach in place and understand what the coach needs and what the coach requires to run his method of play before you can start shopping on in the market. So I think if Spalletti goes, I think the first thing for Inter is going to be to find a new coach, whether that be Antonio Conte, whether that be Jose Mourinho, Diego Simeone, Cambiasso, whoever. Javier Zanetti could be the next coach of Inter Milan at this point, for all anyone knows.
You know what the dream scenario would be? If Simeone is a head coach and Cambiasso is his assistant coach. I mean, like, that would be a dream.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, and that's a doable situation. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Derby coming up on Sunday. We're going to preview that. Then we'll also talk about a few other things. Maybe talk about a few, some players that Inter might want to look at in the transfer season. But we'll talk about that when we come back after the break. You're listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast on the SB Nation Network.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And welcome back here to the Serpents of Inter podcast. Matt Clark, Sam Poore, in with you for another edition. We've talked quite a bit. We talked a little bit about Frankfurt in the first segment. We talked a lot about Spalletti and where his future lies. But obviously, a lot of that could possibly hinge on what happens Sunday in the second installment of the Derby della Madonnina at the Giuseppe Meazza that is coming up Sunday afternoon, scheduled to kick off at 3:30 Eastern Daylight Time, 8:30 local time in Milan. A lot of options to watch. You can check out our preview on serpentsofmatadena.com to read our match preview to see kind of where things lie. And we've glazed on this over this a little bit here, but with the differences between Milan and Inter, you see two teams that are on two completely different trajectories. Yes. Milan is on a rise. They have performed outstandingly over the last several matches, 8 shutouts in their last 11. And they've secured 20 points in 2019 compared to just 11 for Inter Milan in just this year since January of 2019. So this is a far cry from where things stood when these teams first played this season, where Inter was enjoying solid play. Milan was in flux. They were battling with the downward slides of several players, including Higuain. But now they have, Lucas Paqueta, who came in from Flamengo, who has done wonders in the midfield. And you can't say enough about Piontek, who has just put things on fire, for Milan. only one other player has scored more goals in every competition this season than Piontek. And I'll give you a guess who it is.
I would say that it's probably Messi or Ronaldo.
It is Messi. Lionel Messi is the only other player who has scored more goals than Krzysztof Piątek. So this is an extremely dangerous team, and they're peaking at a very good time. They just surpassed Inter to take third. They're 1 point above the Nerazzurri for a third in Serie A, and Inter is back where they were last year. They're fighting for a Champions League spot when they probably shouldn't be fighting for one at all. They should have a position secured behind and maybe even challenging Napoli for second and even Juventus for third or for first. But now here we are where we've seen a downward slide in January, much like last year. And Inter is now struggling and has the potential to be on the outs in terms of a Champions League position, much like they were last season. It came down to the last match against Lazio for Inter to even get a top four finish. And this is something that could happen again. And you've got Roma, you've got Lazio, you've got Atalanta, you've got all these other squads that are just nipping at the heels for not only a fourth place spot, but fifth and sixth of the Europa League. And none of these spots are guaranteed for Inter at this point. And Inter is a team that is in flux. They have had a good amount of issues with obviously Mauro Icardi. We saw what suspensions did with this team Thursday against Eintracht Frankfurt with Asamoah out and Martinez out. Brozovic was out with an injury.
Nainggolan
is out and probably will be out this match as well.
Yes.
Jean Miranda is probably going to be out. The only benefit here is that Inter will have a little bit deeper bench to play with against Milan. But the biggest concern here is just how potent Milan is on offense and whether Inter's defense, which is very good. I mean, I don't think we can overlook that. Inter's defense is very good. Despite the challenges we've seen on offense, Inter's defense has been a bright spot of this entire season. So, if there were worries, you could assuage those worries a little bit with Inter's defense, but still, with what Gattuso has done with AC Milan, in 2019 is nothing short of phenomenal. And this provides a huge challenge for Inter coming into the Derby. And you're going to have Martinez start up front. I think you're going to have Politano, Perisic, and Brozovic. Mario, Jean Mario will probably get called up to start. Vecino will probably start. I think on defense, you're looking at De Vrij, Skriniar, Asamoah, and D'Ambrosio.
Yes.
And, of course, Handanovic in goal. So really, Spalletti is putting out the best available team he has possible. One big question here is does Mauro Icardi see the pitch here?
No.
He's not going to start, but does he come out and play?
No. I don't think. So now I know because the official player squad has been released and Icardi isn't in that squad. But if you're going to look at the future as well, I mean, I think it's so infected at this point. I don't think it's even like reasonable to for him to even play. I think it's too much heat surrounding this. this whole Icardi thing. I think that everyone has, in a way, everyone has been in the wrong. Because, and the problem with that, it was so funny about that, that the only persons that has gained from this situation are our opponents. Nobody else has gained from it. Icardi hasn't gained anything from it. Inter has definitely not gained anything from it. So if we look at the Icardi situation, I think that maybe in a few weeks he might start to play again just to get his value back up. But I think that train has gone. I think that he will probably be sold this summer. I think that the problem is a little bit
even if Spalletti is sacked at the end of the season, he still goes in.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, it's about a management thing. I think it's about a trust thing. I mean, like if you look at it, like everybody has, in a way, at this point, like tried to save their own skin. You know, things are getting leaked out. I think that if you look at what Icardi is putting out in social media, in a sense that he's just trying to smooth it out for himself, basically. And I understand that because he's not only one in fault here. Like, it's very easy to play the blame game and say that, oh, Icardi is in the fault. Absolutely, is he in the fault for not being a better professional, in a sense? Because regardless of him being a captain or not, like, you know, you should be playing. You get a lot of money to do this, and this is your job. But you know, he wasn't put in this situation to begin with. Like, it's a management thing as well. So I think my honest reaction to this is that I think that he will probably leave. And if he doesn't leave, you know, kudos to Marotta or whoever who saw this. But I think that he will probably leave regardless of Spalletti being or not being. I don't think that matters. I think the issue is deeper than that. I think the issue is, I mean, here's the thing. You have his wife, right? His wife is actually a paid person who goes on TV and says stuff. So in this case, what should have Wanda Icardi have said in that Tiki Taka episode where she said that I think that Icardi should get some more better balls, in a sense. It's not like she's going to say that, no, he should get less balls. She said something that she's paid to do. She said something. The problem lays in the fact that Icardi didn't go out and publicly defend his team. So right there, he loses all credibility in towards his teammates. So with that, you know, I understand that he gets sacked he loses that captaincy and all that. But the problem is the way he was managed, the way that everyone has approached it in the management team. Nobody talks about it. So I don't know. I think that Icardi is done and dealt with. Unfortunately, I don't think that he will stay. But when it comes to FC Inter versus AC Milan, I think that Gennaro Gattuso has done a good job with structuring the team, but they have struggled. They haven't played well, but they have gotten points. So that's a good thing for us, because if we can actually make them pay for the bad games they have played, it could actually be upswing for us. But my honest reaction is that I think that we have a little bit too much turbulence right now, so it could be a little bit problematic for us to actually, because they actually go in this game with no pressure. We are the ones who have pressure, because we are the ones who come in this season, you know, with all guns blazing, and you know, we should do this and we should go do that and all. So it's going to be a tough one. A derby is a derby, but I think this one is going to be a tough one. I don't think that Perisic is going to stay either after the summer. He actually has put in some transfer requests in the past. I think that if he leaves, that would be good for the team as well. I think that he's a little bit to blame for this situation as well. But yeah, I mean, I think that regardless of what the situation is like, I think that we will probably win this game anyways. I think that we have a good chance.
Really?
Shot. Yeah.
That was my next question. Is the team that Spalletti is able to put out on Sunday, are they good enough to beat Milan? And let me bring up a few things here. First off, you know, Milan has gone back to the 4-3-3 which is probably its most prolific, its prolific formation. You've got a defense that isn't great, but it's not bad. TMUA Bakayoko in front of the back four has been good. Alessio Romagnoli. Yeah, Biglia's back. Alessio Romagnoli has done well with Musacchio or Musacchio rather. I think they have a potential chemistry there that can do very good things. But is that is Inter's offense enough to surpass their run of play defensively of late?
Do you think? What my biggest concern is? If it depends on what, how Gattuso sees it. If Gattuso thinks that he can control this game, he will probably start with someone like Biglia, because Lucas Biglia has a good passing range. He can hold the ball. He can pass very well. So I think that if Biglia starts, their mentality is going to be a bit more offensively. They probably going to go in the game trying to control it and trying to end it pretty fast. If Bakayoko starts in the defensive midfield in front of the center backs, Gattuso would probably think that we will try to attack them and try to pressure them. So he will probably want someone that is a little bit more defensive. But the thing is that Bakayoko has a good passing range as well. He can actually move the ball very fast. He has the pace to do that. But I think the key part in this game would be who starts in their central midfield. If it's Biglia, they have a good chance of winning, in my opinion, because I think that Biglia, all in all, is a much better player than Bakayoko. He has a better view of the game. He has better passing feats and so on and so forth. But I think that Inter will come in this game with a high intensity in a sense. I think that they have something to prove, and I think that will be the factor, the ace factor in this game, more or less. I think that could be the thing. And the thing is that I don't know if somebody has actually talked about it, but this is actually a very good situation for someone like Martinez, because Martinez has actually no pressure. He has nothing to lose, because he has been in Icardi's shadow for all this time. And now, he can just relax and play and try to do his best. And I think that he will thrive from a game like this. I think that the game will be probably a little bit open, I think, in the beginning, and it will get a little bit tighter in the end of the game. But 1-0, 2-1, maybe something like that. Maybe 1-1, but I don't see us losing. That's the main thing here. I think that the players will come in with the revenge, and they will put the dramas, in the locker rooms for this one, and just go out and with guns blazing and probably do a good job. But regardless of that, I think that if you look at the games ahead and everything that comes with that, I think that it's going to be a bit hard for us to maintain the third spot. I'm not so worried about Roma, because Roma lost today as well. So I think that they are in a bad position right now. Lazio they lack qualities in certain areas that can be problematic for them. And Atalanta, Gasperini does an incredible job with them, but I don't think I think that Inter and Milan probably will take the Champions League spots, but I think that regardless of us winning or losing, we will probably end the season with placing fourth anyways. I think that
does Inter's defense have enough to contain Piontek and Paqueta?
Yeah, I mean, Skriniar has shown it before. Skriniar would probably eat Piontek for a snack. I don't see Piontek actually as the biggest threat in this game. I would see someone like Kessié will probably be a bit more dangerous, because he's actually so dominating because of his physique, and he has a good pace in him, and Biglia is a good player. And Suso always does good against us, so he's a one to look out for as well. I don't think Piontek in this game will be fundamental for them. I think that players like Kessie and Suso will probably be a little bit more dangerous for us. And if Gattuso is smart, like, look, if I was a coach of an opponent team going against Inter, it's pretty easy for me to see what to do. The only thing you actually need to do is to put pressure on the central midfield, because the only one who actually plays the ball is Brozovic. So if you put out Brozovic from that game, that means that whoever gets the ball will probably put it on one of the left or right wings, right? So regardless of that, you know, if you put it to Politano or Perisic, you know, they can play the ball throughout the flanks. I mean, it's not a threat in a sense. The problem is that if we can distribute the ball in central of the pitch, we have a higher chance of actually creating goal chances in a sense, because it's very easy to, it's much easier to defend from the flanks than it is from the center of the pitch. So I'm not so worried about Piontek in a sense, because I think that the physical aspect of Skriniar and the fact that he is a very good defender and he has the power and the pace to go against someone like Piontek, I would be more interested in Paqueta and Kessie and Suso and these players. I think that there will be a bigger threat, because they will probably drive the ball center of the pitch, and I don't know how long we can withstand that. And probably if Perisic starts, you know, we should all go to church or mosque or whatever religion you have, like, and pray that he has a good day, like, because if Perisic has a shit day, like, we play with 10 men anyway. So, I mean, that way we are fucked. Right. So it all boils down to what mental state is Perisic and all the guys in, and if Kandreva and Perisic start together, then we don't have any fans, and then we can just walk off the game, because it's not gonna happen anyway. I'm a little bit cynical, but yeah.
So I want to close things up with I'm going to ask a few questions, and these are ones that Sam, you can answer on the immediate, and everyone else, you know, can comment underneath here when you listen. But last week I asked about Gareth Bale, and I'm curious, Sam, what are your thoughts on Inter bringing in a player like Gareth Bale, if he's one, affordable, which he probably won't be, and two, available, which he likely may be. Is Gareth Bale someone to bring in to Inter Milan in the offseason as a striking option?
Okay, Matt. So let's start. There's two Gareth Bales. The first Gareth Bale is the player Gareth Bale. So the quality and the player Gareth Bale absolutely can go into any team in the world. He's good enough, and he has shown that he has the size, he has the technique, he has the shots. You know, he's a complete wing player, so he's very, very good as a player. The problem with Gareth Bale is that, first of all, he's very injury prone, so you're like, he plays two games and he's gone for like 2 months. Second of all, he probably will have a pretty hefty salary, like, you know, coming from Spurs to Madrid and have playing all those, you know, winning all those trophies, he probably will have like a minimum of 50 million after taxes, something like that.
That's a big hit to Inter's bottom line, especially if, you know, even though Inter will be out of financial fair play, I don't see Suning Group being a team, being a group, being an ownership group that's going to come out and say, okay, here's $200 million, spend it how you want. I don't see that.
No, I don't see that at all. That's not even rational. Like, you don't put that type of money on a player that is that injury prone. The player Gareth Bale, absolutely, I will have him. He's a good player. And one of the other problems that Gareth Bale has, as I understand, that he doesn't embrace the culture of the country he's in. So, of what I've heard,
he doesn't even know Spanish.
Exactly. So, like, he's been there for so many years. The dude doesn't even speak Spanish, and he plays in the biggest team in Spain, in the capital of Spain. Like, I mean. And then you put that with in contrast to a country like Italy, like they are very, very conservative. So they're gonna insist on play like talking Italian and everything Italian. So I mean, that could be a huge problem for someone like Gareth Bale. So I think that the player Gareth Bale, absolutely, but But everything else, I don't see that, man. I think that that's a huge long shot. And if that happens, I will probably question how they actually thought when they actually valued that transfer. Because,
right.
Because that, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to put that salary on a player, I would rather put it on Eden Hazard or you know, someone who is probably a little bit more not so injury prone in a sense, and probably can add a little bit more value in terms of actually playing and doing something. So yeah, no, I would say no to that.
Okay, and here's my question. You know, and this is for you and for anyone listening. You know, who does Inter specifically, player wise, not position wise, player wise, who should Inter look at in the summer transfer window to bring in? And I want us to be very, very cautious about, you know, just spurting out big names like Messi or someone like that. No. You know, we have to be realistic. Let's look at realistic options that Inter could be looking at. A Romelu Lukaku, realistic. An Anthony Martial, realistic. These are all realistic potentials for Inter. So I want to know what player specifically should Inter look at realistically in the summer transfer window to either bolster what we have or replace people we should sell, like a Matias Vecino and a Borja Valero and a Mauro Icardi and a possibly Ivan Perisic. And, you know, who should be brought in to a João Miranda? João Miranda is a player who may or may not has a good chance to not be with Inter next year. So who should Inter go after to replace some of these names that are probably going to go by the wayside in the summer? And like I said, a Martial and Lukaku possibly. Again, I'm not advocating for either one of those two. I'm just saying that in terms of being realistic and thinking honestly and realistically about who Inter can afford and who Inter can realistically bring in at the right price, who should we be looking at? Rakitic is a possibility. But I think there's some players that we would love to have that just aren't financially in the cards. They're just Messi is one, man. Who wouldn't want to have Lionel Messi?
No. Yeah. If Lionel Messi wanted to come to Inter, in order for that to happen, like, Suning needs to give him stocks in Suning Group or something like that. that fee and that transfer fee and that salary, like, if you think that Ronaldo ownership was XP, yeah, I mean, like, if you think that
ownership, Ronaldo, ownership in Jiangsu Inter, as they will be named now, because instead of Jiangsu Suning, which is the Super League Chinese team that Suning owns now, that is reportedly going to be renamed Jiangsu Inter. So maybe some ownership stock in that company, as well as maybe a sweet talking deal with Alibaba or Tencent or another Chinese company that Lionel Messi can own stock in. But yeah, like I said, I want people to think about it and really think about realistically who could Inter target to bring into, because they're going to have to bring people in. They're not going to be we cannot have another summer of a quiet transfer window. We just can't do it. We have too many holes to fill, too many questions that we have to try to answer, and we're going to have to bring people in. I see Inter trying to bring four, maybe even five people in the summer. And I think that is a realistic thing to look at. Now, the question is who are those people? And let's consider the fact that Inter is going to probably have a little bit freer purse strings to spend, but it's not going to be open season. This is not going to be Real Madrid money where they tell their new manager that, hey, here's 300 million. Have fun. That's not going to happen.
No,
it's not going to happen. You're going to get 100, maybe 150 million and maybe a little bit more depending on proceeds from player sales. And that's about it. So realistically, who do you think Inter should be looking at? Give me your top five. And think about this. You don't have to tell me right now. Think about this for next week. But your top five players that Inter should take a hard look at in the summer transfer window, who could either come in, maybe even on a free transfer, or come in on the cheap and provide immediate impact to what this team really needs. Does it need people on defense? Not really. Maybe one backup player. That's about it. Do they need midfielders? Without question. They need midfielders, you know, ASAP. much like And they need striking options. I think Lautaro Martinez is going to really come into his own. I think he's going to be a prominent striker. Is it going to be this year? No. Is it going to be next season? Maybe. Is it going to be 2 or 3 years from now? Absolutely. Probably. I think Lautaro Martinez has an immense amount of potential. Matteo Politano, you redeem him the first day of the window. You cut a check for, what is it? 25 million euro, yeah. I think is what it is. You cut that check immediately because Politano is worth it. He has shown his worth. You pony up and you pay it. You let Cedric Suarez go. You let Simi Vrsaljko go back to Atletico Madrid. Keita, I think it's a coin toss right now whether you redeem him or not. 35 million is a lot. Yeah. If Monaco comes down and says, all right, well maybe 20 million or maybe 15 million, then I think that's more advantageous. Reasonable, I think that's a better play. 35 million? No. If they stick at 35 million, then Keita Balde goes back to France. So, you know, as we close up here, I want people to think about that and who are your top five realistic wants for the summer transfer window for Inter Milan, taking all things into consideration. So, Sam, go ahead.
Can I just add something to that question?
Sure.
And please add what type of position you think that Inter should prioritize in regards of the team.
Well, I think that would be indicative of the players they pick. If you say I want this person, and this person, and all three of them are central midfielders and vary between attacking and defensive, then I think you got it. I think you know what position they want. You can certainly add that. But I would encourage people to really take a hard look at that. You know, watch the match on Sunday, root for Inter. We'll either be rejoicing in the streets or drowning in our own tears after the match. But then on Monday, I want everyone to take a hard look. You have homework here with the Serpents of Inter podcast. Your homework is I want you to come up with five realistic players that Inter could either pull in on a free transfer or pull in relatively inexpensively who can make an immediate impact to this team next season. So that's the homework that I have for everyone. With that, we're going to wrap a bow on this episode of the Serpents of Inter podcast. Big things coming up. Again, we've got the Derby is coming up on Sunday. That is an afternoon kick, ESPN Plus here in the States, Rai Italia America as well. Several options otherwise coming up. We'll have an international break coming up, so we'll have plenty of opportunity to drown in our own sorrows or light flares in celebration after Sunday, depending on how things go, because Inter will not be in action again until they return to the Giuseppe Meazza on March 31st to take on Lazio. That'll be a 2:30 kickoff, Eastern Daylight Time. And then April 3rd, they will take on Genoa. That will be on the road at 3:00 Eastern Time, followed by Atalanta on the 7th at 9 a.m. And then Frosinone, the powerful team of Frosinone, will entertain Inter Milan on April 14th at 2:30. So that's a look at what we have coming up with the schedule. A lot of things we could talk about, a lot more stuff we could cover, but I'm going to call it short for right now. For Sam Poor, I am Matt Clark. You've been listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast. For all Inter news, up to the minute, up to date information, make sure you check out our website at serpentsofmatadena.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Serpents of Inter. You can check us out on Twitter, also Serpents of Inter. This podcast, I am now happy to say, is on iTunes. So you can find us on iTunes. We are also on, I believe, Google Podcast and on Spotify and Stitcher. So you can find the Serpents of Inter podcast on any of those avenues right now. Thanks to the fine folks at the SB Nation Network for hooking us up. They've done a fantastic job working with us to get this thing launched and off and running. So, Sam, we'll talk again next week. We'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure. And with that, we'll close things up. And Forza Inter.
Forza Inter.
Il gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro. Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, il Ninja, il Ninja, jump, 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 al 32.
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmadadena.com.